Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Go Big Blue!
C-A-T-S-K-K-K!
Go Cats, there.
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell. Chris, tell everyone hello.
Aloha from the Bahamas.
I thought that was just Hawaii. You can say aloha in the Bahamas, too? I guess you could say aloha anywhere, but I was wondering if you had a special hello this week for us. Quite looking forward to that. I thought maybe you might go with Puerto Rico, speak Spanish, Dominican. So I guess hola. Yeah, I guess you followed up on that. Anyways, I was just curious about that. It's always something that makes me curious how you're going to open the show.
It's a big part of our show.
That's right, the hello. If you don't nail the hello, no one listens. And so at this point, they've probably tuned out. Just kidding. A few housekeeping notes. If you haven't gone on iTunes and subscribed or downloaded Stitcher Radio app and subscribed to us on there, we gave you a couple weeks not reminding you of that, thinking, hey, it's the summer, you're on a break, who needs rules? But, hey, school's about to get in session, and so we want to remind you that, to do that. So, Chris, it's been an interesting week, for sure. It's August, and we're going to talk basketball, because for the last 8 or so days, that's all Kentucky really has been doing. Of course, there's been football practices, but there's still not a quarterback picked. You still got a young football team. We're going to have time to talk about football. I want to talk about basketball. Just wrapped up the Big Blue Bahamas trip, 5-1. And honestly, probably could have been 6-0, but I'm not upset at 5-1. A loss to the Dominican team today. Just what are your initial thoughts on this? Watching this team for 6 games in August, there's a lot of interesting things that happened in this game. I want to get your initial thoughts on the trip in and of itself and the 5-1 win-loss record.
First of all, I like the fact that this particular team gets to have this trip this year because there's so much potential on this team with all the talent. So give them an extra, several hours to practice and then play some games before the season starts, which is only going to make them better. Not going to get any more bent out of shape about today's loss than I'm going to get excited about any of these wins. It's just good for this team to be able to take a trip like this and get to play some games in August, 6 games in 8 days. So it was like a little mini tournament for them, and finishing, 5-1, kind of like the end of last season, actually. But no, just good that this team gets some late summer practice time in. It's just going to put them that ahead of the curve. And what was there not to like about what we saw this week? I mean, they looked ahead of where I would have thought they would be at this point. And there's just a ton of talent, a lot of potential for this team.
I'm very excited after this trip. I could not care less about today's loss. I don't even think Cal cares about this loss. The last 3 games were obviously tougher. The first 3 games were just blowouts. I mean, just absolute talent on the floor was better in the first 3 games. And then kind of came back down to earth. Of course, the Dominican team is better than the Puerto Rican reserves. You know, the French team had only been practicing. I didn't know this until after the fact. They'd only practiced like two or three times before they came to the Bahamas to play Kentucky for that first game. They actually beat the Dominican team in a game. And so the last three games, obviously, were closer to like 12-point victories, and then today's one-point loss. I'm very excited and very fearful at the same time because there's such talent on this team. I think this trip showed that this team could go 12 deep. Of course, Trey Lyles and Willie Cauley-Stein didn't play. This team could go 12 deep, and I don't know how you manage 12 deep, and that's where the fear comes in. Who's going to sit? Because there's going to be two guys that aren't going to get a whole lot of playing time. Maybe none, no playing time except just garbage minutes in the last minute or so. My gut tells me Derek Willis is going to be one of those guys. And then I'm assuming Dominique Hawkins is going to be the other one, and Kentucky will just go big mostly. Your guards being the twins, Booker and Euless. But then I saw stuff out of Dominique Hawkins that tells me you can't keep him. You can't keep him off the court. It's weird to me. I don't envy Cal. I don't know. Who do you think out of the, you know, if you're only going to play 10, let's just assume they're going to do the platoon that they did, five in, five out, without trying to guess that nonsense. Who are the two guys that are going to be left sitting on the bench this, you know, this season?
I was having this conversation just the other day, and it was the same two that you just said. It's going to be Willis and Hawkins, if those are the two that I have to guess. But there's so many variables that go into an actual game or a season. You know, what about in the second half, if this team's up by 25 points? That's going to affect the rotation. That's when maybe Derek Willis is going to get a chance to play 15 minutes a game, in a game. Or injuries, I mean, yeah, the 10-man rotation, that's going to give everybody plenty of minutes. And then you've got those two other guys, and you're going to have to find the minutes for them. I don't know. It's a good problem to have, and at the same time, I think it gets overblown. I think after watching these guys last week, it's obvious that they're going to have to play. He's going to have to figure out some way for them all to play. And I think they will. I mean, there's just so many variables that goes into the season that he'll be able to find the minutes.
Few other takeaways I had. Very excited for Tyler Euless. Extremely excited. That dude can play.
Yeah.
He's the only guy. He's outside of like street ball games where you just know ankles are going to be broken. He's the only guy that I've seen break a guy's ankles while he's on defense, which happened in I think Friday or Saturday's game. The guy just was dribbling, and Euless was bulldogging him so hard, the guy just like fell down, easy run out. That dude, I'm torn on what I would like to see happen with him. I mean, he could be the leader of the so-called second team and bring a lot of fire and energy. He could play with the starters. Cal's got an embarrassment of options there to go with. Very impressed with Carl Towns. I don't know where Willie Cauley-Stein fits in on this team. I'm really excited about how Dakari played against pro talent. I'm excited about Marcus Lee. You know, Trey Lyles and Willie Cauley-Stein will play. I don't know where. They'll play, but there's no way you're keeping Dakari and Carl Towns on the bench, two of the best players in the Bahamas. Alex Poitras started well on the trip, did not finish well, actually may have been had a minor injury today, sat out most of the second half. That was kind of concerning. But if Alex plays like
he
did
look good over there.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just commenting that he did not look good on the sidelines when he came out at the end of the game.
No, so hopefully that's not a serious injury. But he started the first three games, played amazing. If you know, Jay Billis was calling him an all-SEC talent if he continued to play that way, which is always Alex's case. You know he has the talent. Does he show up every game? Very excited with that. Booker seems to be able is a good 3-point shooter. I'm excited about him and Aaron, you know, standing on the wings. There's not too much to be disappointed about. Did seem in the last couple of games that Kentucky took things for granted, got bored. I do have a concern. This is why I don't think this team will go 40-0, because they will play a team that they know they are so far overmatched with, or that they've beaten before, and may go on the road in the SEC and just not show up, not put their heart into it. I think I saw that a little bit with the French team in the second game. I think you saw that a little bit today with the second game in the Dominican team. They don't rebound as aggressively. They don't really play as strong as defense. And all told, we're nitpicking here. These are August exhibition games against guys who play professional basketball for a living. Some in the NBA, most of them overseas, which are still tough leagues.
Yeah, and I think they just physically kind of hit the wall today. Their sixth game in 8 days, and just their energy level obviously wasn't what it was at the beginning of last week. But yeah, overall, I mean, I liked Booker's overall game. I mean, he didn't shoot lights out in this little tournament, but it looked like every other part of his game is ready to compete at the top level, or at the college level anyway. And that was, you know, one of the things that I really wondered about this team the most was what kind of player Booker was going to be, because we need that 3-point shooting so badly from him, especially on this team. So that was one of the big things that I really like to see coming out of this tournament. And yeah, Ulis is going to be exciting. And one other thing that I noticed about that court, I don't know if you ever saw this, but you know, there were 4 3-point lines on that court.
Yes. Do you know what they were?
I do not.
The furthest line inside is high school. The next line that was like 3 inches behind was college. The yellow line was the international 3-point line, and the furthest away was the NBA 3-point line.
Okay, well, that makes perfect sense.
And then the white line is the volleyball line, also known as the Tayshaun Prince shot.
Yeah.
So, a very, very interesting trip for UK. I don't know how you can't put them as the preseason number one now, having, since they've beat a few national teams and they've beat a pro team. I guess you could, I guess some people will still put Duke number one. Duke also has 9 All-Americans, McDonald's All-Americans, the number one incoming recruiting class. But I just don't see how you can't put Kentucky as number one, since they're coming back from the national runner-up with most of the team, and watching them play. I mean, I saw a few Florida beat writers on Twitter after this game kind of running their mouth saying Kentucky won't be clearly better than Florida this year. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They just lost by 1 point to a top 25 international team. Could Florida do that? I mean, there were multiple teams in the Bahamas this past week. Ohio State, North Carolina, I think Morehead State was there previously, Cincinnati. UNC lost to what they were calling the Bahama All-Stars, which were just a ragtag group of guys that would show up like 5 minutes before the game started. It's like a pickup game with the YMCA down there. UNC lost to that team, and yet Kentucky won't be number one for playing 6 games against professional talent over 8 days. The NBA doesn't even play that many games in a row. I mean, that's unheard of. Cal might have actually overbooked it. But how are you going to get mad at Cal in this instance? Kentucky is blessed. Kentucky basketball is blessed. We are going to have to convince the people here at Louisville.am to change our entrance by April. I'm already booking a hotel to Indianapolis. There's no way we don't make the final. Well, I shouldn't say that. Something will have gone horribly wrong if this team doesn't make the Final Four. You know, the biggest problem is playing time. But this team looks selfless already. I mean, they were all about making the extra pass. It seemed like most of the offense was just alley-oop dunks, you know, just getting people open. We've got a good team. The question is, how does Cal want to do it? How does Cal want to line these guys up? And Jay Billis said that if you included Willie Cauley-Stein and Trey Lyles, you could split Kentucky down the middle pretty much any way you wanted and have two top 20 teams. That's insane. No one else can boast that depth. Duke may have nine McDonald's All-Americans. A couple of those guys got that designation because they committed to Duke beforehand, not uncommitted and got the McDonald's All-American. I mean, there's a little bit of bump up, and I'm sure it's the same with Kentucky. Usually, when you commit to a good school, you get a little bit bump in the recruiting rankings. But overall, I don't see how you could be upset at this trip. Anyone who would make fun of Kentucky losing today is going to just show their ass and their lack of basketball knowledge. Because if we're being serious here, if Kentucky is on your schedule, you had to watch these past six games and think, holy hell, how do you game for these guys? How do you scout them? The first team was running totally different offense and defense than the second team. I mean, the first team would get in there, run what you normally see out of Cal. The second team would get in there, full court press, different offensive looks, different defensive looks. I mean, how do you game for all these guys? How do you legitimately scout 10 to 12 guys? I mean, you don't. I mean, you remember the Michigan game. They said they didn't even have Marcus Lee on their scouting report. Well, you're going to have to scout 10 to 12 guys for Kentucky. And can you do that? Can you game plan for 10 to 12 guys? I'm going to say no. You can't do that. You can game plan for 7 to 8, maybe 9 like most teams run, but not 10 to 12. No freaking way. It's almost a foregone conclusion to me that we should just all go to Indianapolis in April, because what I saw this week exceeded expectations. The sad news to me is that we won't get to see this team in action again until October with Big Blue Madness and the Blue-White scrimmage. That's going to be the biggest shame. This trip should do leaps and bounds for this team. I think Antigua said that they're already on step five, whereas most Cal teams at UK haven't even got to step one at this point because they haven't been able to practice or anything else. This team is already step five. That's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, and it shows. I mean, you can look at this team and tell they are leaps and bounds ahead of last year's team. And I was thinking the same thing the other day. I've gotten used to watching this team now over the last week, and now that this tournament is over, I'm going to miss watching them. It's going to be a long 3 months, but yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches. This collection of talent is kind of unprecedented in the history of college basketball. And at this point, I mean, after watching them for the last week, I think what most fans are thinking is that anything less than a national championship out of this team is going to be a disappointment. And, you know, again, like you said, we got 3 months before the season starts, but it's going to be one hell of a ride this year. And, you know, Duke is lurking out there with their nine McDonald's All-Americans. I mean, it's just shaping up to be one of those deals. You know, you can kind of see it coming between those two. They're going to be fighting it out all year long. And, you know, it's going to be crazy.
Absolutely going to be crazy. I can't wait for it. Absolutely. I wish they could go for another international trip next month. It's been amazing to see. It's been amazing to watch. It really gets me excited for this year, this team. Like I said, anything that you can say about this team at this point is nitpicking or just trying to play God in and of itself, trying to play coach in and of itself, which is fun to do. It's a blast to do. I would love to try to make a couple of different rosters for this team and everything else. I don't envy Cal for it. None of my suggestions actually have to go into play, but it's very interesting. Great. I don't know that you could say bad things about anybody coming out of this week. Not a soul. Even like Todd Lantern and EJ Floreal scored on this trip. So yes. Very, very, very good trip. Should set the bar for a very good season coming up. I do briefly want to talk about football with you, Chris. The main thing is there's still not a quarterback, and we could talk for a whole show, a whole hour on who should be the quarterback and why they should be the quarterback and and everything else. Word is that there could be a quarterback named sometime this week. You know, we could post this on Monday and they name one of the three guys a quarterback. All I want to know is that when they pick a guy, do you think the competition should be done and over no matter what? Or will this play out through the season, you know, if someone struggles? How long or short of a leash should whatever guy they nominate, they put in that Stars role, get? Because you have to remember, Toles is a redshirt sophomore. Phillips is a redshirt freshman. Drew Barker is a true freshman. Any of these guys get the job, they could have it for 2 to 3 years. And so, you know, do you give them a long leash? Do you give them a short leash? What's your thoughts on that?
That's a good question. I think that they should have named a quarterback a while ago and just gone with it. We talked about this last week. Obviously, the competition is so neck and neck, though, that they haven't been able to do that. You know, I don't know. What do you do? Do you yank a guy? How many games are we talking here? I mean, if they go 0-2, do you make a change again? If they lose to the, you know, Ohio, I don't know. That's a great question. I think a lot of it could have been cleared up if they would have just named a starter a while back and just went with the guy and let him get the first team reps and build the offensive chemistry around that guy. I don't know. They've taken this thing so close to the beginning of the season that there's always going to be that doubt in the back of everybody's mind if this team struggles. So, I mean, I don't have the answer.
It'll be interesting to see how Stoops and the coaching staff manages the quarterback situation will have a big impact on the season, whether they're on a short leash, a long leash. You know, it's a tough conference. It's a tough schedule. You can throw in a guy in too early. You can damage him. I think that was Morgan Newton's biggest problem. You could argue that's been Maxwell Smith's biggest problem. Throwing a guy to the Wolves way too early could be detrimental. Letting a guy stay in there way too long could be detrimental. I mean, look at Toles. He got thrown in early. It's taken him this long to recover. Redshirt sophomore, which is almost unheard of, you know, the way he did it. You know, it's a delicate situation with your quarterback, especially in the SEC. I think how they handle it will largely depend on whether Kentucky can win more than the three cupcake games that they have on their schedule, whether they can either beat Louisville or one of the lower SEC schools that they have on the schedule. I am interested to see the defensive line. I think outside of your star positions, your running back, wide receiver, quarterback, you know, even your defensive backs, our defensive line has a chance to be very, very special. I think that could be the difference in a couple games as well. Apparently, there's six guys rotating in and out. Matt Elam is one of them. Dude's a hoss. I don't know if you ever saw the picture posted last week. I mean, dude's a hoss. I mean, just a hoss. And still could put on and turn a lot of that into muscle. I could see why Alabama wanted him. He could have been the next Terrence Cody for Nick Saban in a year or two. So, thankfully, Kentucky has him. He's going to play for us. Stoops already said he'll probably play the first game. You have Bud Dupree and Za'Darius on the ends. You have, I just forgot his name. Saint X guy is going to be a sophomore this
year.
Hatcher. Trying to get playing time at ends and outside linebacker positions. Defense and the defensive line and on the ends, outside linebackers, should be pretty good. The running backs should be pretty good. You got four guys who can play in the SEC. Outside of that, I think it's anyone's best guess, no matter what the coaching staff says, what anyone else says. It's probably a roll of the dice after that because you've either got young guys or you've got guys who just probably don't have the talent to play in the SEC, to put it bluntly. But should be an interesting football season. We'll get more into that in the upcoming weeks. Don't want to spoil that too soon because, let's just be honest, I think the best-case scenario for this year is 5 wins for Kentucky, and that's probably pie in the sky, even 5 wins. So if we if we get on that bandwagon way too soon, we're just going to be out of gas by like week five. So be changing your mindset into football. Unfortunately, our little taste of basketball in August is over. It's been a good run, but now it's time to talk the real sport, which is football and fall. And I saw the AP Top 25 was released today. 8 SEC schools in the top 25. That does not include Florida, who a lot of people think will break into the top 25 at some point this year. I think Florida's going to suck again and they'll fire Muschamp. But I also thought Kentucky was going to go 6-6 last year. So I don't know if you should really listen to me or not. Chris, you got anything else you want to tackle this week?
Oh, not really, other than the fact that there's nothing to not be excited about with football season starting if you're a UK fan. Hopefully what we're watching here is the evolution of the program into an SEC contender, and this is year two of the Mark Stoops experience, and everything's trending in a positive direction. So there's nothing to not be excited about with the start of UK football this year.
I agree. We'll tackle it in the weeks ahead. We'll end this show as we always do. Go Cats.
Go Cats.